with me in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Lamentations and the second chapter, Lamentations chapter 2. Also, we're going to begin by looking at the brochure that was given out and give us an opportunity to maybe make some reflective comments on that. Maybe you didn't get a chance to read it. This is the basics for depressed believers. And next week, we'll be covering the last of these five, the basics for angry believers. And they're already out there. They're yellow. And you might want to grab one of those out in the center table on your way out. But again, these booklets, these brochures have been, I think, helpful. They've been helpful to me sometimes in putting things correct in my thinking as a Christian. You don't even need to be going through depression to have your mind and your thinking corrected. I think there were some great statements made in this brochure that can help us and maybe help someone else. Maybe you know someone who's going through a bout of depression right now. And again, my encouragement would be you give them one of these brochures and encourage them to read it. Mark a few statements that might have been helpful to them or might even cause them to have a question. And then they say, hey, let's talk in a week from now, or let's talk 2 weeks from now, and we'll see, you know, what you found in the brochure. And again, what you're trying to do is getting involved in someone's life, and especially if someone's going through depression, that could be very helpful to them, just to know that someone else is kind of there for them and willing to help them through the struggle that they have. So tonight we're going to discuss the basics for believers, depressed believers. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we sang about was sweet peace. And even as we sang, I thought, wow, that's exactly what someone going through depression needs. Someone being discouraged needs that. Someone that's cast down, just having down thoughts or feelings because of something maybe they've lost or something they're going through. And so I'm thankful for the wonderful peace that can be found in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord. And Father, even we, I think, could apply that last verse. I think I often sing it thinking of a non-believer, but sometimes we need to make you a closer friend during that time. And drawing nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us and help us. Guide us in our discussion time tonight, our consideration of the Scriptures, and just the service as a whole. May it be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, as you look through this brochure, he's going to talk. It's good to give us some graphs sometimes, and he shows us that downward spiral, as it may be called sometimes, in disappointment to discouragement to depression. And by the way, I think something, a graph like that is helpful, because we can kind of catch ourselves on the way down. Maybe you were falling at one point and you caught yourself, maybe on a countertop, maybe on a workbench, maybe on the side of the car or something like that. You caught yourself from going the whole way down. Well, I think sometimes spiritually, if we see that we're getting discouraged, we can catch ourselves before we get all the way down into depression. We can get a hold of our thinking, make it more biblical. Then he goes on to adding, sometimes our body hinders us. And I'm just giving us a quick overview. And sometimes it is complicated then by some physical struggles. Then he talks about the real problem for most of us on page number 2 and has some insightful thoughts there. Going on to then watch how you muse. And the idea is watch what you think about. When you lose, he goes on to several pages of that, and then watch what you choose when you lose. Watch what choices that you are making. And then he talks about God's antidepressant. And then ultimately on the BAP, a MAP method for looking at, studying, and considering God's Word. Who'd be the first tonight to maybe have marked something in this booklet, this brochure, that you see as helpful? Something that may have stood out to you in the reading of it. Again, maybe you didn't have a chance to read it. You're just having the first glance at it. And I'm prepared for that. But anyone at all, anybody mark anything here that you thought was helpful in this brochure? Brother Jim?
Near the Bible, it talks about thinking that things will never get better. And that's really he's always just dwelling on it more and more and more instead of looking for the solution for Christ.
Yeah, and when you're thinking things aren't going to get better, you lose hope. You lose that confident expectation. And as we continue to dwell on the problem instead of dwelling on Christ. So as Jim has mentioned, if you're thinking that things aren't going to get better, then you're focusing on the problem. You're not focusing on the Lord. I think if you begin to focus on the Lord, you'll say, okay, we're going to get through this. The Lord's gracious. The Lord's merciful. The Lord will be there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That we can boldly say the Lord's my helper. And so I think that's a good point that Brother Jim has brought out, that dwelling on the fact that it's not going to get better. Someone else? Anyone else find anything throughout the brochure that you might find helpful? Anyone? Notice on page one with me, there were a couple of things that I had made note of as I was reading through it. Talks about sometimes our bodies hinder us. And we brought that in a little bit last week when we talked about when our thoughts aren't right, we can begin to crumble under the pressure and begin to experience some physical problems. Depression is occasionally the result of bodily malfunction, a thyroid condition, certain infections, unstable hormonal activity, reaction to medication, and so forth. So sometimes they're going to use this term organic, meaning it's natural. Sometimes we get it in our head, there's something wrong with me mentally. Not every time that you're in depression is something wrong with you mentally or even the way you're thinking. Sometimes there's actually something physically wrong with you. For instance, it's often found with somebody who has issues with their thyroid. And so one of the things that we have encouraged along the way in counseling someone who's going through a deeper type depression is, number one, go to the doctor and get some type of a physical exam. Just make sure you're doing all right. Maybe get some simple blood work done and so forth like that. There have been a few times along the way that has actually identified the problem that they're dealing with. And so I find it interesting that he brings it out. The drugs do give, I'm reading the beginning of the final chapter, or paragraph here, excuse me, do give a patient a lift, but, you know, unless that is proper for them, it's not going to solve their problems. And so, again, we have to make sure that we're working within the realm of what is good for us and natural for us. I would not encourage, I'm just going to float this out there, I'd be very careful about just going on some type of a psychotic med because you're having trouble sleeping or if you're going through a period of depression. There are times when things like that may need to be prescribed, but I'd be very careful about that. I remember a number of years ago, one of our seniors, and they have since gone home to be with the Lord. I don't mind mentioning this briefly, but they were having trouble with depression. Went to the doctor. Doctor put him on some really strong medication. They were not used to being on medications to begin with. They put them on three psychotic meds. Within 3 days, they're in the psych ward and finding it impossible to get out. And so finally, we had to work with them and guarantee as biblical counselors we would help them. We got the psych doctor. We actually got a hold of the psych doctor that was there then watching over the patient. And got them to start backing. They were thinking that, well, they need more meds because they're having a worse problem. And we got them to back it down over a period. It probably took 2 weeks. And they saw the more they backed it down, the better they got. And so ultimately they released them to our care. But it took weeks. They couldn't sign themselves out. They couldn't walk out. You might be able to do that out of a normal hospital, but you're not going to do that out of a psych hospital. And so, again, be really careful about going on some type of a psychotic med. I would never do it before seeking some type of biblical counseling first. I'm not saying we can solve everything, but I'm encouraging you to be really careful about going that route. And I think he would address that just a tiny bit here, but more so in some of his biblical counseling. Anyone else? You see something that might be helpful, something that stood out to you in the brochure? Anyone else? Yeah, Tony.
Just noting that depression is a thinking problem, in kind of on page 6 of the what you choose, but depression is a problem in our thinking, and it often is a springboard to leading to other things, other issues in our life. And sometimes maybe we notice the other issues in our life and don't realize that maybe there is a root problem that we need to deal with.
Okay, good. So going on that idea that depression on page number 6 is a result of unbiblical thinking, we've got to be careful what we choose to think on then when we go through those different periods. One thing I thought was interesting on page three, look at the bottom of page 2 if you have the brochure there. Watch how you muse and what you choose when you lose. Don't you love the English language? They're all three rhyme, but none of them are spelled similarly. There's the English language for you. That's what I notice in a statement like that. But we have to watch what we think about and the choices that we make when we lose something. And that's the primary, really kind of the foundation for this brochure. And then as we get on to page number 3, when talking about loss, I have a couple of things marked here, but just beyond the bullet points, just below them, the first paragraph, it is important to remember that there are some things God never intended for us to have, and He mercifully arranges for them to be removed. Now, He's not saying that across the board, like God never intended for you to have a grandparent, therefore your grandparent. No, that's not what He's saying there. But He's saying at times, and He's going to go in here about a young lady who has a boyfriend that now likes another girl, you know, and loses that boyfriend and so forth. And He says, we've got to remember the sovereignty of God. And so sometimes it's God taking something from us. And so we got to be really careful that we don't get angry at God. You know, how could you allow this to be taken from? Maybe it was God that took it from you, because He recognized that wasn't best for you. And so as you go down through and consider, sometimes you got to stop and recognize the sovereignty of God and dwell on, you didn't just lose this by accident, or you didn't lose this because of someone's evil intentions. You may have lost this due to the Lord choosing or allowing to remove it from your life. And it's actually merciful that He did so. I find that interesting. When I first, anyone else, is there a comment or question you might have on this? Sandy.
To change the emotion, we must change the thought.
Hmm.
That's basically what everybody's saying on page 3 there. That's
yeah.
Really,
what was that last statement?
It's really like a key to the whole thing.
Yeah, in that he's saying to change the emotion, you have to change what you're thinking about. And he says, no emotions can be sustained without thought. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? If you aren't thinking about something, the emotions immediately dissipate. It's like have you ever used maybe a leaf blower or a fan to fan the flames of something, maybe trying to get it started or even blow on it to try to get it? And the moment you run out of air, the flames immediately die down. Well, that's like your emotions. Your emotions need the thought to fan those flames. Without the thought, the emotions immediately dissipate and go away. Maybe you've been really angry, and then maybe your best friend walked in the room, and all of a sudden you go from angry to joyful. Why? Because you're glad to see them. You're unexpected to see them. And so you go from angry to delight, and in just a split second, your emotions change. What is it? Are you some psycho? No, you're not a psycho. Your thoughts change. What you're thinking about has changed. And sometimes that's really helpful for us. Merely stepping into a new environment or having someone walk in the room or talking to somebody. That's why sometimes talking to someone really helps you with your emotions. Why? Because it kind of channels your thinking in a different direction and allows those emotions to go away. And so I think Sandy's brought up a really good point there. And so what we need to do is take and change our thinking. If you're really struggling with anger about a situation, All right, get your thoughts off the situation, get your thoughts onto the Lord, or get your thoughts onto a solution or something different. That way, again, that those emotions will begin to dissipate there. So I think it's really good. When I was thinking about this brochure, there were two passages that came to mind. And interestingly, those two passages were both found in this brochure. And they were Psalm 73 and Psalm 42. But he also mentioned Lamentation 3, which I wasn't thinking of at all. Now, this is really, who wrote the book of Lamentations? Who knows? Daniel? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, or the prophet. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. Does anybody know why he's written the book of Lamentations? Does anybody know why? Amanda? And because God told him to isn't an answer, okay? Go ahead.
My guess is going to be, did that have to do with he was sad at, like, Israel being rebellious?
Yeah, part of it is Israel being rebellious, and God is now going to judge Israel. And so there's a series of letters, and there's a series of sermons going on here. And if you would look, just look at chapter 2 and verse number 1 for a moment. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger? I'm just going to stop reading there. And if you would begin reading the opening 20 verses of chapter 3, you would almost get depressed reading through the 20 verses. Let's just take our feet and dip in here a little bit. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. And believing that to be the Lord, most writers would believe that to be the Lord, the He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Isn't that an interesting statement? Surely against me is He turned. He turneth His hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath He made old. He hath broken my bones. And so Jeremiah is going to go on and lament for 20 verses about the judgment of the Lord and really the anger of the Lord that is against Israel, and as he sees it, against himself as well. Then look at verse 21. 21 then becomes key, and this is the verse that he noted in the brochure there as you are reading through it. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Well, what did he call to mind that took him from this letter of distress to having a confident expectation that things are going to get better? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Did you ever stop and think about that? Sometimes we think of all the negative going in our life and we never stop and think, well, if it wasn't for the Lord, we would just merely be consumed. We would merely be taken away. If it's of the Lord and His mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. So even when all these negatives are going on, the Lord is still compassionate. We sometimes fail to see that. Look at verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, the soul that seeketh Him. So here again, what Jeremiah was able to do is go from this negative spirit and outlook on life and totally flip to having hope. Why? Because his focus was on how good the Lord is. Even in our worst distresses, go ahead and turn with me over to Psalms 42, please. Psalm 42. Even in our worst distresses, the Lord is still good. And even in our worst distresses, the Lord is still merciful and compassionate and kind. It's just sometimes because of the darkness, sometimes because of the cloudiness. Have you ever driven in the morning? It's been a heavy fog. Really difficult to just see the lines. I mean, the lines are meant to be reflective, but because of the denseness of the fog, well, sometimes because of the denseness of our trials, it's hard to see the goodness of the Lord. Jeremiah is a prophet of the Lord. Jeremiah is a weeping prophet. Jeremiah is a holy man of God, but still at times struggled to see the goodness of the Lord. So just because you're struggling with it doesn't mean, oh, I'm backslidden. Oh, this, I may not even be saved. No, that's, our minds just jump in the wrong direction sometimes. Just stop and begin to consider the goodness of God. And maybe it'd be good for you in a time of trouble, probably not to read the opening 20 verses of Lamentations 3, but begin with verse 21 and begin to read and consider what brought Jeremiah back up again. Let's look here in Psalm 42. Now, Psalm 42, who's the writer? Don't say David because it's wrong. Actually, we don't know. We don't know who wrote Psalm 42. I say we, I put myself in like I'm some great theologian. But as you study it, they haven't been able to discern who is the writer of Psalm 42. The beginning of it's a beautiful psalm. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God, for the living God, and so forth. Look at verse number 5, though. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? So, what's he doing? He's talking to who? Ah, you thought you were going crazy when you talked to yourself, didn't you? Sometimes you need to. Sometimes you need to begin to talk to yourself and get yourself thinking correctly and get yourself in 2 Timothy 2 that I've preached about, that they may be able to recover themselves who are taken captive by him at his will, is verse number 26 of 2 Timothy 2. Sometimes we got to help recover ourselves. Of course, we need the Lord's help. But sometimes you need to take yourself by the lapel or take yourself by the shirt and just shake yourself a little bit and say, wait a second, stop and think here. And here's a man who starts so high, but all of a sudden gets down and says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So this is kind of the middle ground. This is kind of the first step. You begin to get yourself to put your confidence in the Lord. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember. So who's he talking to about his soul now? He started by talking to himself. Now he's talking to the Lord. And so again, this is a good progression here. When you're struggling with depressed thoughts or discouraged thoughts or disappointed thoughts, begin to talk to yourself. Begin to talk to the Lord. In verse number 6, where he goes, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee in the land of Jordan and on the and Hermonites and the hill Mizar and so forth. And I've already taught on that years ago what those points in Israel's history were. But again, this idea of we need to help recover ourselves, we need to get a hold of our thinking. Turn one more time. I'm going to have you turn, I think, twice yet. Turn to Psalm 73 now. By the way, these are all holy men of God that are writing. These are all men God has chosen to write a portion of His Word. These are all men who have been doing well spiritually, but at times struggling. So just because you have gone through a period of discouragement, disappointment, or even depression does not mean that you're unsaved. That in and of itself does not mean you're unsaved. It does not mean you're ungodly. It does not mean you're unspiritual. What it means is right now you're focusing on the wrong thing. Sandy brought out, I think Tony brought out about our thinking. We're dwelling on the wrong thing. And what we need to do, that it simply means we need to change how we're thinking. We need to change the focus of our thinking. Who's the writer of Psalm 73? Asaph. Who's Asaph? Who is he? Somebody? Brother Bob? Hey, the music man, just like Brother Bob. Not the musical, the music man. He's a different music man. But he's a leader of the Hebrew choir. There were, 188 Levites in his choir. And he was the director of it, maybe 288, I forget the exact number. He was the choir director for the largest all-men's choir in Israel. Whose choir director was he? King David. So he is during the same period of time as King David. He's a music director, the highest music director in all of Israel, was this man named Asaph. Doesn't sound like it as you read the opening verses. Let's look at it. Truly, God is good to Israel. Sounds good now. Even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. By the way, are these true biblical thoughts? They are not. It's one of the things that brings us into discouragement and depression. Actually, what we're thinking about is not only not biblical, a lot of times it's not even true. What are some of the not true thoughts that we think when going through loss, going through deep trials, when we begin to spiral down? What are some of the things that we say or think, maybe a brief period of time, that are not even true? Somebody, yeah, Rita.
Why is God punishing them?
Yeah, sometimes we think that God is punishing us, which may not be true at all. He may actually be merciful, delivering you from something. Somebody else. Abby. Yeah, we might think that, just like Asaph, might think so-and-so has it better than we do. Somebody else, Daniel.
God doesn't love me.
Well, he says he does, so it's between you and him who we're going to believe. Nathan.
I'm the only one that's ever had to deal with this. Nobody else has ever gone through this.
Yeah, I'm the only one. This, you know, wise guy always picking on me. I'm the only one going through something like that, even though the Scripture says there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man, okay? And somebody else. Okay, we've hit a lot of them here. Somebody else had their hand up. Somebody there's pointing in different directions, Jim.
Sometimes we think, well, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. So we focus on us instead of focusing on the Lord. So again, what we need to do is begin to think biblical thoughts and true thoughts. Remember what it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, that we are thinking on those things that are true. Sometimes we're thinking already there's going to be a negative report tomorrow. We're going to think already the boss is going to fire us tomorrow. We're thinking on the negative when it's not even true yet. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Verse 15. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He says, if I would speak like I'm thinking in my heart, how I'd be so offensive if others would hear me speak. By the way, it's a good evaluation of your heart when you stop and think, okay, if I were to turn on the volume of my heart and let others hear what I'm dwelling on, what would it do to them? Did you ever stop and think about that? If what I'm thinking about, what I'm dwelling on all day, if I were to turn the volume on, I'd pick up the phone and call someone and tell them right now what I'm thinking, what would it do? He says, you know what, if I would share with others what I'm thinking about right now, I'd offend a multitude of thy children. Maybe one of his thoughts was that the Lord doesn't love me, that the Lord isn't caring about me, and so forth. So look what he goes on to say, verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. And he begins to talk about how his mind was changed when he went to the house of the Lord. Again, what did he need to do? Merely change how he's thinking. Let's make one final turn. Let's go over to Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 28. This verse stood out to me in his writing here of this brochure. I did not remember this verse. Sure, I read it. Sure, I was impacted by it sometime in my life. But in verse 28 of Psalm 119, it says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. So I'm melting. I'm being discouraged. I'm becoming depressed. So let's run through the verse references that he put. Again, have you ever been guilty as I when a brochure has encouraged you to read a verse? You didn't read the verse, you just kept reading the brochure. Well, here's what some of these verses said. Look at verse 67 with me. Before I was afflicted, I did what? I went astray, but now have I... So was affliction good for him or bad? It was good. In fact, look what it says at verse number 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. By the way, we don't generally say that while we're going through it. But sometimes coming out, we do. Look at verse number 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness hast... Who has afflicted me? God. He recognized that the affliction was actually coming from the Lord. Look at verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. So unless I had gone to the Word of God, I would have struggled the rest of my life or throughout my affliction. In verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, make me alive, O Lord, according to thy word. So again, what a tremendous group of verses. That might be great to print out on a 3x5 card or a 4x6 card, or depending on what might be helpful for you to evaluate just these verses to help you in times of affliction. Use it as a bookmark. Use it as a Bible marker. I think all three of these passages that he mentioned were incredibly helpful. Again, my mind ran to two of them without reading the brochure. And I actually had it in my notes. Before I read the brochure, I began working on the sermon that I would preach with it. And it was Psalm 42 and Psalm 73. So thankfully, I was kind of thinking along the same lines as he was. And I think these passages can be really helpful for every one of us. So basics for depressed, and notice this, depressed believers. A believer can become depressed as well. Just when we get dwelling, musing on the wrong thing, choosing the wrong thing. Be careful what you muse and what you choose when you lose. And may the Lord use this to be helpful to us. Dear Father, we come again to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for the time that we had just dwelling upon this. May it be helpful for us. May we make proper choices when we lose things in our lives. May we recognize your sovereignty in those losses. May we get hope by turning our thoughts to you. May we get a hold of ourselves in our thinking. May we cry out to you in the midst of that. And may we find ourselves spiraling back upwards because of the choices then that we make. Help us to think on those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things that are of a good report. Guide us now in the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.